I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to bid each and every one of you a hearty welcome. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day, and we just want to thank him for that. And we want to also thank him that he has given us this opportunity where we can gather like this and nourish our soul from his Holy Word. But let us unite our hearts for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace, and we acknowledge that without you, we would not exist. We acknowledge that without your Son, Jesus, we would all be lost forever. And thank you for sending your Son into this world and dying on the cross for the remission of our sins. We thank you for raising him out of the grave so that we can have abundant life. We also thank him for ascending to heaven and preparing a place for us and sending us the gift of the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us in this world and into eternity. Lord, we thank you for prayer, where we can talk to you, bring you our concerns, our troubles, and whatever lies on our hearts. And we thank you for the Holy Scriptures that you use to talk to us. And this morning, we ask your Spirit's presence among us as we want to nourish our soul from your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Blue Hymnal, number 407, Near the Cross. 407. And I invite you to stand with us.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, where a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, rose from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever. Fill my
of our mic and plug. There you go. 337, lead me to Calvary. 337. Number 328, are you washed? 328.
Fully trust.
That is a question that we all have to answer for ourselves. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And this morning, we want to look at to see if we are born again. Or do we know what it means to be born again? Or are we like Ananias that had that question? What does that mean to be born again? We have heard many times of the new birth in Jesus Christ. And many people have different thoughts on what that actually means. Some of us grew up where this term was seldom used, where it was never explained. And for many, being born again happened at the time when they were baptized. And for many, they have this mindset that they will do the best they know how to do and have this hope that they will make it into heaven. But friends, it is important that we not only know who has created us, but also through whom we have the right to be called a child of God. There is a story of a young girl who asks her father, "Where do people come from?" Her father replies, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything that is in them. God then made Adam and Eve from the dust of the ground. And he allowed a deep sleep to come upon Adam, and God took a rib from Adam and made his wife Eve. Adam and Eve then had children. Their children had children. And that is how people were created, or that's where people come from." Then the girl says, "Well, then someone must be lying." In school, they told us millions of years ago, there were monkeys. They got smarter and smarter and eventually became people. And you say that people were created by God. So, who is right and who is wrong? The father just smiled and said, "I told you the truth. I told you where we come from." And I guess the author of the book in school told you where he came from. Now I know that all of us here this morning would agree that we are created by God. But this is what we are up against. And it's not only now. I still remember when I was in school in the younger grades. And I forget which book it was, which subject. But there was also this thing about monkeys, and that's how people came about. But I know at that time, either the teacher, we would just skip over it, or some teachers even cut out those pages. But today, that is something not allowed. Teachers have to teach that. And maybe going a little bit off subject, but last night, I heard something that I could hardly believe. I heard a little bit of it before, but I thought that was just somebody just made that up. But in our schools, they apparently have litter boxes now, because some people say that they are cats or dogs, or some students. Friends, we are up against Satan. How satanic can you get? The people would want to be a dog or a cat. I thought this homosexual thing was as bad as it could get, but now it's getting worse and worse. I don't know where it will quit. But obviously, there are many people out there that are not born again. And I'm sure also there are none of us here that would admit to having any monkey blood in us. But it is also clear to us that we have been recreated through Jesus Christ. We have been recreated so that we can truly say that we are part of God's family. And what does that all entail? What does that mean if we are part of God's family? Scripture is very clear. God is very clear. He says if we are a child of God, we are heirs along with Jesus Christ. And we know what Jesus Christ inherited, we could say. Jesus Christ inherited everlasting life. And God says we are heirs along with him. We will have everlasting life in heaven. And if someone would ask our children, which is your family? They would be quick to point out, that's my mother, that's my father, that's my brother and my sisters. And if they would be asked, are you sure that those are your parents, that is part of your family? Are you sure you belong? And they would not hesitate and say, yes. I know to which family I belong. Now, in the spiritual sense, we should also be very quick, if somebody asks us, we should be very quick to say to which family we belong. We should be very quick to say that God is our Father. And we also know our Father. We know who God is. But there are many that would also say that God is their Father, but they try to connect with God in a different way. They try to connect with God through someone else than Jesus Christ. And Scripture is very clear on that, that there is only one way in John 14, 6. I want to go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 8. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Yes, this is our way to the connection with God our Father. And this can only come through his Son, Jesus Christ. In any other way, or if anybody tells you there are other ways, that is false. That is a false religion. And we know there are religions out there that think differently. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 says, "For we are ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." This describes an unbeliever. But in our Titus, a little further there in verses, what we just read, verses 4 to 8, we read that grace has come. Love and mercy from our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. You see, he came and saved us. He came to show us a way to a new life in a time when mankind was on its way to be lost forever. Had Jesus not come, had God not sent his only Son, we would have been lost forever. But Christ came to rescue his people. All of mankind had a debt to pay, a debt that was so huge that they could not pay. There was no way that we could have saved ourselves. There's nothing that we could have done that would have done that. But Christ, he came and he paid it all. He paid it for you. He paid it for me. He paid it for all those that are in this world. It was no wonder that when he went to the cross, that his sweat was like blood drops. He was under so much stress because he was dying for the whole world, the people that had been and the people that were and the people that were going to be. Can you imagine? All those sins were upon his shoulders. He not only died on the cross, but he also arose from the grave. If Jesus had died on the cross and had not risen from the grave, we would be worshiping a dead Savior. And unfortunately, there are some doing exactly that. They are worshiping a dead Savior in their minds, which is, of course, to no avail. Yet Christ came to do his part, and nothing can be done to make salvation more complete. He did it all. Yes, Christ has done his part. We also need to do our part. Let us go to the story of the new birth as told by the one that has made all of this possible. John chapter 3, John chapter 3, starting with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So we have a man here. He can see that the things that Jesus was doing must be coming from God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And here, of course, Nicodemus does not understand that. He tries to understand it with his carnal mind. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So this born again is not a physical thing. This born again is spiritual. And he compares it to the wind. He says we can see what the wind does, but we cannot see the wind itself. And likewise with the Spirit being born again. We cannot see something miraculously happen, we might say, physically. But the Spirit does this work. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? So Jesus challenges him. You know all these. You've studied all this. Don't you know? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So he's referring back to Moses, knowing that Nicodemus, he has studied Moses. And he, you know, it's a comparison to him. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Yes, in this passage, Jesus explains the new birth to Nicodemus, mindful of the fact that Jesus had not yet died. He had not yet gone to the cross and risen from the dead when he told Nicodemus this. But Nicodemus, he was a well-learned man in the Old Testament. And that is why, of course, Jesus mentioned the story of Moses. And also, when you study the Old Testament, all the way through the Old Testament, it will lead to Jesus being born. But Jesus says, we need to receive this in faith. We need to acknowledge that He is God's Son. In John 3:16, it says, Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus says, if we believe this, we will receive. And if we will receive, if he gives it to us, it is a gift. He says, this is a gift that I give to you. And when we receive a gift, we do not have to pay for it. Because someone has already paid for that gift. Someone has bought it already and wants to give it to you. And likewise with our salvation. It has been paid for. And it is a gift that Jesus is giving to us. But if we reject this offer, then it isn't ours. And that is why we also read that we cannot earn this gift or earn our salvation with good works. If we had to earn our salvation with good works, would we ever know when we would have done enough works? We might see our neighbor doing more works than us. And then we would think that we weren't saved. But if we try to earn it with good works, what we are then saying is that the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross is not sufficient. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, we don't say that good works are not necessary, but we don't do these works to be saved, but we do these works because we are saved. And much more can be said about this. But today, we are talking more on the new birth. The new birth means a new beginning, a new direction, a new outlook on life. This means that we are connected to the God who has created us. And we are also redeemed through God's Son, Jesus Christ. Many churches today don't preach the new birth anymore. And no religion is as much under attack as Christianity. Yes, other religions worship a strange God. Or they say that there are many ways how they can connect with this Almighty God. The New Age movement says we are God. They don't believe in worshiping a God as the one who is the creator of all things. Islamic faith, or the Muslims, believe Allah is their God and that he is merciful unto them according to how many good works they have done. Muhammad is their prophet. And they have a long list of deeds to do in order to please Allah. But Muhammad has died many years ago. They are worshiping a dead prophet, which can't do anything for him. Their faith teaches us not, or teaches them not, to have anything to do with Christians or go against them. The Roman Catholics, they pray to Mary, the Mother Mary. They say there is one God, but different ways how to connect to this one God. They pray for those that have passed away. We have friends that are Catholics, and his father passed away. And he prayed that his father would have eternal life. And I explained to him, I says, after death, those prayers don't help anything. And, finally, he sort of gave in, and then he says, well, that just at least makes me feel better. But then it is too late. Sikhism is a large religion found mostly among the people from India. They believe there is a God, which they call with a different name. And their connection to God is through meditation and meeting places and temples. They also have many rules they need to follow to please God. But Sikhism is a little different than Islam. It's not as anti-Christian as the Islamic faith. A while back, I read a book. It's called Seeking Allah and Finding God. It's about two individuals, two university students. They become friends. One's a Christian and one is a Muslim. And the Christian witnesses to this Muslim student. And this Christian has studied the Quran, the book that the Muslims use. And he finds things in there that this Muslim didn't even recognize that there were in there. And to make a long story short, this Muslim is converted. He sees how wrong it is. But there are many more false religions that the devil has inspired. The devil really doesn't care if we are religious, as long as we don't worship Jesus Christ. He knows that Jesus is the real God, and he knows that Jesus Christ died on the cross to provide salvation to all people. A couple of weeks ago, I had a call, and it was a scam. I'm sure you've all received scam calls. Something, I had ordered something, and they looked at my account and didn't look like I would have done something like that. It was a recording. If you want to speak to someone, press 1. Oh, I wanted to, was curious, so I pressed 1. And someone came on the line. And he says, I have some questions of you. Oh, I says, I also have a question of you. Well, what is that? I says, do you know Jesus Christ? And he blasphemed, he says, Jesus says, and he blasphemed, he gave a line like you wouldn't believe. And what does he do? I says, he saves. Who? I says, people. He was quiet for a while. And then all of a sudden, profusely, he says, I'm sorry, whatever I said. He said it 3 times. And that's where our conversation ended. So I have no idea where it ended, where it went. But it was interesting. But we know that Satan is hard at work. But there are still many people out there that are not born again. And we sometimes just shove them off as being maybe mean people and they deserve it and stuff like that. But we have to realize that Jesus died for everyone, for every soul. He's paid for every soul. And and God says he does not want the death of a sinner. And so we need to do our part and then we have to give everything over to God. But We just have to look at ourselves. Are we born again? Do we understand what that means? Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of our service this morning, we thank you for your Spirit's presence. May the Spirit assure us that we are a child of God. And to those that are not a child of God, may your Spirit convict them so that they can also partake in your peace and joy and everlasting life in heaven. We also ask that you strengthen those that are contemplating baptism. May the Spirit also comfort those that are heavy laden, those with struggles in life, the sick, the lonely, and those that have lost loved ones. Father, help us to keep our minds concentrated on the many bountiful blessings of life and not complain about our circumstances. Let us remember how your Son endured hardships, persecution, torture, and a shameful death, so that every person who believes in him may have abundant life here and life everlasting in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening. And so let us once again kneel in prayer, whoever is able. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
Good morning. I just have some announcements here. They're in the bulletin, but just to remind us for the upcoming events, like tomorrow evening is the Sunday School Teachers' election here, and we would all encourage you to come prayerfully and support the Sunday school. It's very important, especially when we listen what happens in our schools and in society. It's very important that children learn from a very young age what the truth is and where salvation comes from. And the other one is about the collection for Bethany Harder. It is in the bulletin now, and we have decided to have that open today and next Sunday yet. You know, whatever you put in the middle there in the home mission, that will go for Bethany for her surgery. The cost is roughly about $15,000. So if you feel to support her, we would really encourage you to do that. And then also this coming week is Wednesday and Thursday is communion here. Wednesday is the English, Thursday is the German. So you're all invited to attend those two. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Jake, for those announcements. And I also want to thank you for coming this morning and partaking in our service and song and prayer, and the Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace of the Lord.